everybody. My name is Diana, and this is my Trailblazers of the Universe podcast. Some of you might know me from my Trailblazers of the Universe YouTube channel, where I help you fearlessly and unapologetically live your best, most authentic life, and I help you break through any barriers and transcend any limitations you may have. But on this podcast, we're going to be focused more on spirituality, self-improvement, and emotional healing. So today, I have a special guest and friend, Brittany Smith. We're going to be talking more about coming back to yourself. She has experience with hypnosis. She hosts transformational events, breath work, retreats, adventures, sisterhood, a lot of different things. Before I get started, you know, I really want to shine a spotlight on people that are doing good things on the planet. You know, I think we give a lot of attention to people that aren't. And so when I see someone that's like, call a trailblazer and someone that really wants to help heal and, you know, raise the frequency vibration of the planet, you know, I really am inspired because we need more people like that. So Brittany, if you could introduce yourself and what you do.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm super honored to be here. I love that I am a trailblazer. So with that being said, my name's Brittany Smith. I'm a rapid transformational therapist practitioner. I also am a breathwork facilitator, and I'm in the process of getting certified in somatics as well. I do host retreats. We just recently finished a women's retreat we called Love Thyself, and it was a weekend experience in North Carolina on the Outer Banks, and we just, like, delved in. We did some internal work, but it was like so gentle and beautiful. And we got to spend time out on the beach and together in community. And just these events, like just in general, not just ours, but if you get the opportunity to experience some sort of event ever in your life, I would say go for it, because they really are life-changing in so many ways. And yeah, that's who I am and what I do.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know, I really feel called to do more. Like, I think live events are very, powerful, you know, 'cause I think in this digital world, you know, we can listen to a video, we can, you know, listen to a podcast, but, you know, I think the in-person, events, you know, really helps us connect with others that are on the same mission. And, you know, everyone has a unique perspective, to offer in, whether it's on healing and improving yourself, or it's just good to feel connected. You know, I think in this world, like, a lot of people isolate now with what's going on the planet, and I think it's really good that we can come together and do those kind of things. So what got you into coaching? I remember the rapid transformational therapy. I remember I was interested in that too. Can you go more into that part? I'm very interested in that. So that's more like reprogramming your subconscious, but it's a different technique, right, than normal kind of hypnosis.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So rapid transformational therapy actually includes multiple modalities. I studied under Marissa Peer in 2020, and what got me kind of interested in RTT is what we call it, was I was on my own journey, right? And we can talk about that more down the line. I actually had a huge epiphany around that last weekend, so I'd love to share.
Yeah.
But specifically RTT, I had a heel spur, and I was a dance teacher. I was a volleyball coach.
Wow.
I taught, coached travel ball and high school volleyball. And I was always on my feet. I was a teacher at high school level. So being on my foot and having this heel spur was super painful. And, I did everything I could possibly think of. I went to every doctor under the sun, and their only conclusion was, well, we can do surgery, but it might not take. It might come right back. And so I started doing deeper research. I had been really interested in Marissa Peer's stuff since like 2016. And when they said that, I was like, no, you know, that's because it's not hitting the root. And I need to hit the root of what this healer is. And so I reached out to another transformational therapist and did an RTT session with them on my foot. And within 5 days after that session, the heel spur was completely gone. This was in 2019. 2019. and it has not come back.
Wow.
So I was like, I love this and I want my life to be about this and I want to be able to bring this to other people. So the end of 2019 was when I decided I'm going to get certified. And so that's what I did. Now, rapid transformational therapy in itself is, like I mentioned a few minutes ago, it's multiple modalities all wrapped into one. So, for example, if you were to go through a session, what that would look like is we would have an intake call. I would ask you a bunch of questions to get really clear on what it is we're working on. Like for me, my first session was the heel spur. I knew that's what I wanted gone. So when I went to my intake call, it was, I don't know why, but it's painful. I can barely even walk. Like I was literally to the point where I was crippled.
Oh, wow.
And it was an option as somebody who's a mover and a mover and a groover,
Yeah.
right? What an actual session looks like is an intake call. And then, like a couple days later after that, once I've had a chance to go through and decide, you know, what is it that we're really working on here? And I craft some questions for them. And then during the actual session, I'll say, hey, how does this feel? Let's work on, let's think. My question, for example, with my foot could have been something like, when was the very first time that Brittany experienced pain on her right heel? Right? So I'm hypnotizing you, taking you back. So then now we're using regression therapy, taking you back to
Yeah.
that very first time. I tell you that it's like on a computer screen or a TV screen. It's like you're watching it from an outside perspective. So you're not reliving the occurrence or the trauma, right? You're seeing it like it's on a TV screen. And
Yeah.
then you're able to look at it and tell me everything about that experience. I can open your ears. I can open your eyes because you're under hypnosis and you're in a memory. So I can really tap into all those different areas, you know, and ask you, my job is to be the investigator. So I ask every question that comes to my mind while I'm listening to you talk about this experience. And then once we get to where it's like, okay, is there anything else important for you to share with me? And you tell me no, then I say, all right, we're going to do this at least two more times.
Yeah.
And I take you back to another memory with a different question, that pertains to what we just talked about, what you learned during that experience, so to speak. And it's really cool because we don't take away your ability to remember what we discussed during these sessions. So even though you're under hypnosis, when you come out, you still have the ability to totally recall what we talked about. And then once you go through the regression part, then we do, typically there's so many different things. There's like 16 to 20 different ways I can upgrade you, so to speak. But the key is to reframe the thought process to get you to that point of understanding so that you know what caused that specific feeling of I'm not enough, or I'm not worthy, or you know, I'm unlovable, or whatever that might be. And then once you know that, we can move into what's called the reframe or the upgrade. And that's where, for like 10 to 15 minutes, I just breathe life into you. So I'm affirming everything that you think you're not. And you're just relaxed and sitting there and listening and taking it all in. But RTT in general is like it's hypnosis. So hypnotherapy, essentially, regression therapy, NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, psychotherapy, affirmations, and I'm missing one, but that's okay.
Yeah,
I
it's a
can't,
good
it's not
mix. Yeah.
running right now. So it's a really amazing tool, and I'm so excited that I have it and use it regularly now.
Yeah, that's really awesome. And I think just the way, you know, I mean, where do the limiting beliefs come from? I think from society's programming, from maybe when we were a kid, and just the way we're thinking. And it just, we have the ability to heal ourselves through what we believe, you know. And I think in that state, a lot of people aren't able to do it in a regular state, right? Because your conscious mind is going to, or your subconscious is going to like reject it. So that's kind of hacking into the subconscious, getting your brain in what is that, a theta state, and then so it can receive. And you're more receptive to that kind. Because if I listen to affirmations right now, you know, I've done a lot of experiments with hypnosis and affirmations and things like that. And I have one that I would listen to like when I was awake, and it's cool. It sounds empowering, but you know, sometimes you still reject it on some level. So I had one where I was listening to him when I would sleep, and I would wake up. I did this for like a month, and I felt great, you know, because my brain was in that state. But I think that's good that you can get people in that state, and also to be the observer of whatever event happened, because sometimes we don't want to go back to that state in our normal state because it could be traumatic or very painful. So I think it's cool that you can like observe it from like a different, like from farther away. You're not so entrenched in it, you know, and I think that's really cool that we can use that to heal, like as a healing tool. Yeah.
Absolutely. We also, once the session is complete, I take that part where I just breathe life into you the whole time, you know, 10, 15 minutes, and I turn that into a recording for you. So now you have your own personal meditation that's, you know, geared specifically towards what you need, like to reframe on the inside. I guess need's not the best, what you could reframe on the inside. And so we always say, listen, you know, I send it out the very next morning. Listen to this when you first wake up or when you're going to bed every day for 30 days. And then I check in with them, you know, on like day 6, on day 10, on day 15, to make sure to see how that listening to that recording is going, because, you know, we learn everything through repetition.
Repetition. I was just about to say it. Yeah, it's needed, because you can't just listen to it one time and then that's it, you know, and especially if it's a limiting belief that you've had since you were younger. You know, the older you are, the more unprogramming of your subconscious you have to do in reprogramming. So I think a lot of people will get frustrated, and then they'll have a trigger come up, and then it's like a test. Are you going to be that version or not? And that's a big thing with me, as I've overcome like addiction and things like that. It was like, now it's face in front of you again, after you've done all this work. And it just like, the healing doesn't always stop, the evolving doesn't stop. You're always at a different level. I say new levels, new devils, even sometimes too. So I think just being gentle with yourself, and I know you're big into like the self-love and the confidence, and sometimes it's good to even hear someone else outside of you breathing. I like what you said about breathing life into you, like telling you positive things, because we're in a world where you probably don't hear that a lot. You might have grown up in a, like, maybe your childhood wasn't like that, maybe your parents weren't like that, and it's not always their fault. Sometimes they weren't raised like that either, and maybe their parents did that. So that's a big part of like breaking these, like, I don't want to say generational curses, but like the trauma, just like, you know, healing your whole bloodline, you know, and then we can pass that down to the next generation. But so when people come to you for rapid transformational therapy, or even just coaching in general, what's the main reason why people come to you, or like, what's the main thing that you think people struggle with that's like blocking them from getting to their next level?
So, I mean, you know, I was kind of raised by Marissa Peer, and my actual, when I first even jumped into this whole world, it was Lisa Nichols was the one who lit me up.
She was in The Secret, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and both of their kind of platforms at the time were, you are enough. And, you know, we've studied so much, everything goes back to the root of like, not feeling good enough, not feeling capable enough, not feeling worthy enough. And what causes that? It's all programming, and it's nobody's fault, because as you said a minute ago, it's generational.
Yeah.
And when we healing that, then it heals the whole bloodline, and it's such a beautiful thing. So I would say, you know, when people come to me, it's because they see my stuff and they're inspired by like the fact that, well, you know, my story was, I went from like really hating on myself consistently and having this really bad experience in my relationship and whatnot to like thriving and being secure in who I am and able to be authentic even in some really difficult situations. And I try to share that with my audience. And when they see that, they'll reach out oftentimes and be like, hey, what are you doing? And then I just openly share with them, you know, we have an open conversation, and that's it. Like, there's no, when it comes to this stuff, there's no selling to me, because it's the fact that it's possible and to know that you can do it on your own, it sells itself.
It speaks for itself. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like embodying that. I deal with the same thing too. Sometimes you want to feel like you're selling something. You're just being your authentic self, and the people that resonate are going to be drawn to you, the people you're meant to help. That's how I kind of look at it too. And it kind of goes back into the topic, back to self. So a lot of people are afraid to be authentic or afraid to think differently. And, you know, they think what they have to say or what they feel isn't important. And that's all also part of the programming. So what would you say to people who are having trouble being authentic, like being comfortable in their own skin? And this could be due to trauma. There could be a lot of different factors. But what overall advice would you say for someone who's like really having trouble being authentic? Maybe they have all these creative ideas. They have an idea what they want to do for their purpose, but like they're just kind of scared to put themselves out there and to like shine and everything.
So is this person aware yet that they aren't being authentic? Or are they?
I guess it could go either way.
So
they don't feel authentic. Maybe they're just afraid to express it.
They know something's off and they want it to be different, is what you're saying.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
My husband, he tickles me because he tells me oftentimes, he's like, Brittany, you red pill people. And I'm like, well, you know, sometimes maybe that's what they need.
Yeah.
So, I usually, if they're struggling with authenticity and they are yet to open up about it, I read people pretty well, and I get really curious when I'm with them. So ultimately, I don't have a definitive answer, because it would really depend on kind of what they were saying and how they were being, as to what way I would kind of guide the conversation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I did have someone message me a while back. I was raised in a purely Southern Baptist home. Okay, so good little schoolgirl, right? And I had some wild weekends in high school and college, but, you know, I had to keep those quiet, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so I also, once I got out of college, I became a school teacher in a really small town where, you know, I was raised in this Southern Baptist community. And so it was all about facade and looking a certain way and being who everybody thought I needed to be. Mm-hmm. And I went to many events. All right. I started, like I said, with Lisa Nichols. I did the Marissa Peer stuff. And then one day out of the blue, I had already planned a trip to Sedona, Arizona, and then it just so happens on Facebook, I like happened to find this event. I don't even know how I found it. A friend of mine posted some pictures of a house, and I was like, oh, this house is really dope. And she was like, cool, I'm going to a retreat there next, you know, like in July. Do you want to go? And I was like, thinking retreat, like sitting by the pool, sipping on some Kool-Aid, you know, chilling for the weekend, like a retreat, like a spa is what I was thinking. Cause at that time I was doing motivational and inspirational and transformational events. I had not been to a retreat space yet. So I get there, and it was like a total rebirthing experience.
Oh, wow.
Because it was all shadow work and like in the deepest freaking form. Well, Brittany is a go-getter. Like, I go big or I go home, and I wasn't going home because I was excited to be in Sedona. So I stuck it out.
Oh, I love that. I've always wanted to visit there.
Yes. And so I came home from that experience. I did all this shadow work this week that I was there, and I came home a totally different person than what I went there as. And people noticed almost out of the gate because the first thing I did was get on my Facebook and say, "Hey, y'all, I can say fuck now." And people were messaging me like, "What happened to you?" You know? And I'm like, I did the work necessary to peel back some of the walls that I was hiding behind. And so oftentimes when I'm talking to somebody and they are struggling with authenticity, the first I'll go right for the gut, you know, I'll be like, "So, that's programming." And they'll be like, "What?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, everything we experience in life is a program. So what you said, that's a pattern you're going to run your whole life if you don't learn how or figure out how to get out from behind it." And sometimes that scares the crap out of people. And sometimes it piques their interest. And, you know, that's all about the attracting the people who are for me. But I don't sugarcoat with people anymore. I just tell them what I'm experiencing, and then they get to choose whether they want to hear what I have to say or not.
I think shadow work is such a big important part of healing, and especially people that are more spiritually inclined like us. A lot of people want to focus on the love and the light, but man, the shadow is where the work is at. And that's how I healed from addictions and stuff, is from sitting with my emotions raw, whatever issues, like sitting. I mean, I have more of kind of a more intense way of the way I was doing it. I went to a holistic rehab and that's how I healed, but I was, all the stuff was removed, all the things I used to numb myself or to distract myself. I just sitting with the raw emotions and feeling it, and facing your fears and insecurities head on. But that's a lot of work for a lot of people, and especially if you have some heavy trauma, that's sometimes you need guidance on that. It's not something I think everybody should do alone. I mean, some people can. I was able to, but it can be a lot. Some people can have like an existential crisis. They have a dark night of the soul, but it's just finding back to self is just like basically shedding away all these layers of who you aren't. And part of the awakening, just finding your purpose, being authentic, is like all this was like programming that wasn't necessarily ours. Like, we didn't choose it, and we just believed it and we felt it, and then that's our experience. So it's really cool that we can take our power back, and I think shadow work's a very good way to do that. And what would you say for people that are struggling to find their purpose right now? Because that kind of connects back into the authenticity and the shadow work and stuff. A lot of people aren't living their purpose. Either they're afraid to be authentic, or the way our society is, or we're working like a regular job, and our purpose, it takes work to do that and maybe make a whether a living from that. Or I think people focus too much on that. And some people just don't want to do the inner work, or they have insecurities or fears of being seen, so what advice do you have to someone that's trying to find their purpose in this crazy world?
So again, you know, that would be something I'm a really curious person when it comes to people. So if they're struggling with their purpose, the first thing I would say, and I'm sure you've heard this a million times, but it's Marissa Peer, you know, this is my training. Between the ages of 7 and 14, what did you love to do? And they go, "Well, you know, I don't remember." And I'm like, "Yeah, you do. What'd you love to do?" And, you know, I might get something like, "Well, I played." "Okay, what'd you play with?" "Well, I played video games," or "I played with Barbie dolls," or, you know, "I loved to draw." "Oh, well, there's something I can work with. I can work with all three of those things. You played video games. What was it about the video games that you enjoyed?" And then we just break that down and go through it, right? Every element of it. And it's like, "You loved Barbie dolls. What was fascinating to you about Barbie dolls as a child?" "Well, I really loved them talking and like playing, and they would go places together," or maybe somebody made clothes for their Barbie dolls, you know, things like that. "Well, you know, then why aren't you doing something like that today? What do you think?" "Well, you know, if you loved communicating with people, are you in a job right now or in an extracurricular experience where you're actively communicating with people?" "Well, no, I'm at a cubicle and I do data work all day long." "Well, that's why you're miserable. You get some communication going, you know?" If you loved like the Barbie doll thing, the making the clothes, well, Do you know how easy it is today to start an online business where you can create clothes and sell them and you don't even ever have to touch them?
Yeah.
And like video games. People are making gazillions of dollars just playing video games online right now, streaming.
Yep.
What are you doing in the evening times when you get home? It's taken the smallest little inkling of what you really loved as a kid and figuring out what is it about that that I truly enjoyed and how can I transpire that into the life that I'm living today?
Yeah.
And once you figure that out, then you can really jump into your purpose or your passion or what it is you feel you're here for. But again, you have people who are afraid. They don't want to put the money down to pursue something. So then, okay, well, then let's do it where you're working, and this is just something you do on the weekends for fun. And if you're getting a little bit of it, if it's what lights you up, it's going to change your whole outlook on life moving forward if you're actively doing it.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have lost their spark. And I think, yeah, it goes into the inner child healing. I get a lot into that. But a lot of it's just simple. It's just bringing it back to the basics. Like, what brings you joy? And, like, it's not caring about other people's opinions of how that might look as you're an adult. And that's, I think, where people get stuck on. People care too much about what people think, or it's just a program. And yeah, it's about like finding your spark, what brings you joy. And it doesn't matter what it is. And sometimes if you need to keep it to yourself, if it's something you don't feel like comfortable sharing, you just keep just do it on your own thing. It's about connecting back to yourself too. That's why it's important to have like alone time to really find out what you want to do, you know, your passions, like what brings you to life. And that can change, you know, and it's okay to change your passions. It's okay to even change your purpose. You could have something in mind, like me, I'm doing content creation, but I don't know what's going to happen in a few years. I could, you know, I probably will still be doing that, but I might expand, and it could help you branch out into like other things, you know, and then you connect with people that are on the same frequency. And yeah, so it's
For
pretty
sure.
cool.
That's the beauty of doing the work, too, because as you pull those layers back, you uncover new purposes and new passions that you didn't even know existed because it was hidden within. And when you peel that back and increase your frequency, that opens you up to meet those new people that share that the like-minded, experiences with you. And it's hard. It can be a really hard thing to say, okay, I realize it's time for change. But when you do, there's no going back. Because once you see it, you can't unsee it again.
And you kind of flow with it. And once you start to do that, and you know, I think some people, obviously, your subconscious wants to keep you safe, right? So it's going to say, oh, that's scary. Anything outside of your comfort zone is going to be like, oh, no, I'm good. But once you get a little taste of that, I just tell people do something a little bit outside your comfort zone every day. It could be like the smallest thing, and then it adds up. It doesn't have to be this big, like, I mean, some people do things that way. I've done things that way. But if for the people that are hesitant, just do something little every day that brings you joy or just that makes you feel more stable. I also think that a lot of people are stretched too thin, you know. People are doing too much, and I think in our society too, we're taught to do, and that's a lot of that masculine energy, but part of it is balancing, also embracing your feminine energy, which is something I'm also working on, learning to rest and play and be receptive. It doesn't always have to be I'm doing this, like I'm not worthy unless I'm being productive. That's something that's a program that I'm starting to overdo. Like, for instance, this weekend I'm off. You know, I'm working a normal job while I'm growing my business and passions and stuff too. And I almost felt bad yesterday. I took a day just to rest, and I felt weird. I was like, oh my gosh, why am I not doing something? You know, oh, I should be editing a video. I should be doing this. Even I should be meditating. And you know, it's all about sometimes just being with yourself and just following your little things, hints of joy or that the little sparks of light, you know. But your environment is a big thing too. You know, there are some people, you know, someone that was an addict before. Some people aren't surrounded by the right people, whether it's your relationship, your friends, or sometimes your environment isn't inspiring. So what do you think about people who like maybe have all these dreams and maybe are trying to heal, but maybe they're feeling bogged down by the people they're surrounding themselves with, or they're just not in the best environment for healing and growing. I mean, I'm all about being an alchemist, like kind of transmuting all that, but some people really struggle with that. What do you think about people that have that issue?
I see it every day,
Yeah.
every single day. And my first thing is, and here, this is the little Tony Robbins, right? My husband trained with him, so I've
Oh,
got
wow.
some of that
Cool.
in there. But it's your five people. If you are feeling like it's your environment and or the people who you're surrounded by that are holding you back, then you've got the wrong five people.
Yep.
And it's really hard sometimes for people to go to leave those that they know, because it is uncertain. And one of our main needs as a human is to have certainty.
Yep.
And especially our family, you know, that is what's holding us back, or, you know, that we're trying to escape from by using or by drinking or, you know, by whatever it is, pornography, whatever that may be. It's if you can just take one small step in finding someone who is doing what you want to do. Now, I'm not talking about the millionaire like Tony Robbins, who's already been there, done that, bought the t-shirt and on his third, you know, fourth trip around the sun. I'm talking about somebody who's doing what you want to do, who might be newer, who's just breaking the threshold, but you see them thriving and they've got that like desire to be better, right? If you can find one person like
Yeah.
that person is going to also have a person, and then that person is
Yeah.
going to have a person. And then before you know it, you've got a whole new group of people who are all moving in the same direction. And what, and you're not necessarily leaving those old people behind, but it happens in such a natural way because it's literally science that they're still there. You still love them, but they're not the center of your focus anymore.
Yeah.
All of us. Focus is over here with the people who are reaching for their goals and striving and building, and you're all co-creating and collaborating together and doing things to get you to where you want to be. It literally just takes that one moment of finding that person who's just a little bit ahead of you in the game, but who has their head on their shoulders, right? Because
Yeah.
if they're not doing the work, if you're doing the work and then the person you follow is not doing the work, right? And we say that thinking everybody knows what that means. But like making the changes necessary in their life to level up, right? If that person's not and they're stuck, then guess what's going to happen? You might move a little bit, but you're going to be stuck again.
Yep.
So it's got to be just a consistent, like, hey, I'm looking for somebody who's doing good. Who's doing what I want to do and I want to learn from them. And that can be a coach or a mentor. It can be a friend. You know, that's one of the things that going to these events and these retreats have done for me, and even being in the online space. Like I met you in full-time purpose.
I was just about to bring that up, and I had just gotten out of a rehab like a little bit long like before that, so I just did a lot of healing work, but I was integrating into the world after like overcoming all that and doing a lot of healing and shadow work and stuff and getting my brain back to normal. So then I joined that group. I always knew I had aspiration to like do something like content creation or something, or just kind of to channel my energy I had, and that and then we all met, and look, we're still friends. I was like, what, almost 2 years ago now, or maybe more than that. And I do collabs with you guys. I have a podcast with some of the people in that group, and we're still connected. We still do our own thing, but we always come back to, we'll chat somehow, or I think it's really cool how we're all connected like that, and how we're all have the similar purpose. And that really helped inspire me, because I was like, you know what? Even though I was still working a matrix job and stuff, I was like, I'm at least taking steps to get out of that and work. I'm still trying to figure out what I want to do sometimes, but having that support group and even talking to you, some of the other people, we're all doing different things and kind of working through that, the same things. And it's very inspiring to have people like that. If I didn't have people like that, I don't know, because in my current environment, like where I'm at usually, it seems like us light workers, or whatever word you want to use, we're put in places that are a little bit sometimes darker, or like where there's a lot of people that aren't doing what we're doing. You can feel like you're on an island by yourself. Like sometimes you're talking to your friends, like about when I was talking about content creation stuff, when I first started, they're used to me being like a party girl, like what content creation? I'm sure, I'm not saying they were all rude, but you know, some of the people I had to let go of because they weren't really like supporting what I was doing. Or once I started to see that I was starting to, you know, grow more, making them feel kind of uncomfortable because like they're not doing something I am, you know, I was doing something trying to help people and, you know, trying to grow and stuff, and it can make certain people feel uncomfortable. So I think it's just like staying on your path. And I also want to talk about, or I forget, like, well, you talked about the breathwork and the somatic. So when you say somatic, is it, are you doing somatic meditation, somatic therapy? I did get into that a little bit as I was trying to heal from trauma, really heal my body, because a lot of times we do a lot of spiritual work and mental work and even emotional work, but sometimes the trauma sits in the body or the negative beliefs in our chakras, right? I'm into Reiki, you know, I get Reiki and all that stuff done too. So what, and breath work has really helped me like stabilize myself more. I do Wim Hof breath work all the time. But so what's your experience with the somatic therapy, whatever kind of somatic work you do, and breath work, and how is it beneficial? Like what kind of impact it has? Like, do you do that with your clients or you just do it yourself, or?
Yeah. So I do both. Breath work is, it's wonderful. I started with Wim Hof, that retreat in Arizona.
Oh,
is introduced to Wim Hof. I came home and introduced my husband to it. And then we started doing it together every morning. So Wim Hof, right? And then before you know it, I'm like, you know, I want to get certified in journey breath work, because that's the deep shit is what I'm not allowed to cuss. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're okay.
The deep work is like what I love to do. Hence why Brian says I red pill people. Right. But so I got certified in just journey breath work. So I can take people really deep to the point where they're releasing DMT into their body and they're having full on psychedelic experiences. Nice. And that is so powerful. And my husband, he got certified in, I can't remember off the top of my head what the actual title of his is, but he's certified in like 27 different types of breath work.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So when we have our events and things, like we do it daily together, but we still pretty much kind of just do Wim Hof because it's the most basic. But, well, I shouldn't say it's the most basic. That was wrong. That it's not the most basic. It's what we know. It's our certainty. It's what we come back to.
I do it every day. I did it right before this podcast, actually.
Yeah. Help me ground, right?
Yeah, and grounding. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So breath work in general is like you can help move some serious emotions out of your body if you just know what breath work to use. And that's where, you know, he comes in handy because he's certified breathwork facilitator now. But I'll give you an example. So like cold therapy, people go, oh, I could never do that. Well, breathwork and cold therapy go hand in hand. And my husband taught me this breathwork. Like if I need to take a cold shower or if we really, so, oh, here's a good example. We went to Vermont. In October, we had a retreat in Vermont with Seasons of Change. That's our company. And it was like in the 40s there, and we went to a waterfall and we utilized cold therapy in the waterfall. Well, everybody was, oh my gosh, it's going to be so cold, because it was the water was like 27 degrees. Okay. So, I had one of my clients who I've worked with for over a year now. She was on the rock next to me as we're getting ready to plunge in, and she starts crying, and I'm like, what's going on? You know, and I'm consoling her, and she's like, I feel like I'm being forced to do this. And I was like, no, no, no. Hey, if you don't want to do this, you don't have to do this. You know, this is not us forcing you to do anything. We, you know, yes, push past your comfort zone, because that's what this trip is about. But like, do it one step at a time. And when she realized we weren't forcing her to do it, it totally changed the game. But I said, I'm going to breathe with me for just a second. Let's get in together and breathe with me. And she was like, okay. So we got in up to our like necks, and she was starting to hyperventilate, which a lot of people do when they get in cold water. And I said, okay, we're going to breathe in for 2 seconds, hold it for 2 seconds, breathe out for 2 seconds. And then we're going to repeat the cycle until you're comfortable where you're at. She was like, okay. So we start in for 2 seconds, hold for 2 seconds, release for 2 seconds. And within, a couple counts of that, she had totally calmed down. She had relaxed her nervous system to where she was now comfortable in that 27 degree water. She was no longer panicked. And that breath work is called combat breathing. It's what your Navy SEALs use
I've
when
heard of
they're in
that.
extreme.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, wow.
So, it's the way it can calm you. And then, I'm in the process right now. I just started the program. But for somatic movement, what I've realized so far is that when we're having a somatic experience, meaning we're tense and we could potentially hold that in our body and create
Yeah.
pain later down the first thing to do, like if you notice, for example, you're driving and all of a sudden you're gripping the steering wheel like really hard. Okay. I just realized I'm gripping the steering wheel really hard. So then you can consciously choose to let your hands relax. And if you have awareness of your breath, you will then also notice that while you were gripping the steering wheel really hard, you were probably breathing very shallow, maybe even through your mouth, which
Yeah.
is a stress response. And you were probably tensing like every muscle in your body at the same time. And so something, what was happening in that experience for you, if you can look inside and reflect and just take a deep breath and release all those muscles, let that breathing return to normal through your nose, because that's why God gave us the universe gave us our noses, right? Is to breathe through them and then allow those hands to relax. You can actually then focus on what happened in my experience to cause that somatic experience, which, then could cause pain later in life in my body. So it's gonna be about learning to release trauma
Yeah.
through being really present with the
With
body
your
itself.
body,
But
yeah.
so I've got all the mind stuff, right? I've got RTT for the mind. I've got breath work to help with the
Yeah.
parasympathetic, the nervous system. And then now I'm like, all right, I need somatic healing, somatic movement to help release all this stored trauma that I
Yeah.
have in my body so that then one day I can be at my optimal. Like I was driving home today from my mom and dad's and I was visualizing like the way I want to look when I'm 50, because I'm going to be 40 this year.
Oh,
So
wow.
I'm like, I'm on my journey, like back into health and all that jazz. And I'm not unhealthy, so to speak, but I'm heavier right now than I've been in a really long time.
Same here.
And so,
Yeah, man. And it's emotional eating too. Sometimes because I know I still have, traumatic things that I'm working through as well, but and I've done all the work, like a lot of work spiritually, mentally, and emotionally even, but the body, I feel like the physical, that's where a lot of the remaining stuff is stored. And I'm even asking myself when I want to emotionally eat, when I'm sitting there eating for no reason, I'm like, I'm not even hungry. Why am I eating? So I'm kind of sitting with it. Why do I feel like eating is a thing? It's a comfort. And I think as women, as we're getting older, our hips get bigger. We just, it's in it, the way and the food in our society too. That's a whole nother thing on itself. I'm learning to eat more superfoods and healthier, but I think we've all, that's another program. Like the way I ate growing up was, isn't really working for me now. I'm starting to see the way I feel after I eat certain things, and I'm trying to keep balance with exercising and stuff. But I think that's in, but I almost feel resistant sometimes when I want to even exercise, because I think sometimes your body wants to hold on to the trauma, like it doesn't want to let it go. Do you ever feel that way? Sometimes I feel like it doesn't want to release it. If it feels like it, so I'm like, oh, I need to do more work. I've been doing more like somatic meditations and stuff too, and like movements. It's work, it's the holistic view. Everything's connected, your spiritual, emotional, mental and physical, right? So we have to do work on all the areas, and the physical can seem like the hardest because it's like the densest, but if we can work on that too, get some of that energy moving there, and that's why Reiki's really helped me a lot too. I get Reiki sessions done often, and I want to continue. I was taking Reiki classes before, like to become a Reiki master, but we'll see about that. But I think it's important to get the energy moving. And I even force myself to just go on walks sometimes, you know, when I have a lot of resistance. Sometimes you don't want to go to the damn gym. Sometimes I'm sitting there chilling at my apartment. I don't want to go. I'm not in the mood to go work out on machines in front of people and stuff. So sometimes I do little things like I'll take the dog on the walk, or nature has been really helpful for me, you know, and healing and stuff too. So yeah, that's a whole nother thing in itself.
Absolutely. When I'm feeling a lot of resistance to just doing what I need to do, and it's hard, if especially if you're in the north during the winter because there's snow on the ground. But I'm, you know, when I'm able to do this, I'm in Florida, so it's a little different for me. I'll take my shoes off and just go put my feet in the grass.
I love earthing. Yeah, I did that today, actually. Yeah.
So when you put your bare feet on the green grass, it literally floods your body with so many positive electrons that they cannot be counted by a machine.
Wow. Yeah. I feel that.
That is a huge, like, and then taking a couple of deep breaths in, you know, and just letting that sun penetrate your face and your arms or whatever. It's so healing. And yeah, that's one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah, I do that a lot. I think it's back to the basics for healing. Sometimes we think it has to be like this intense, like we have to, I mean, there is a lot of work to do, especially if you're doing, like I was getting into the Akashic record healing, all that. I get into that kind of stuff, but sometimes it's really just simple. It's like back to the basics, just like living a healthier lifestyle, like going out in the sun, yeah, putting your feet on the bare grass, like just resting. A lot of times it's really simple, and to even heal our nervous system and stuff. My nervous system is used to being like stimulated a lot, and I'm like, I feel weird when I rest. I'm like, why do I feel weird when I'm resting? Why does it feel weird to take a day to rest? That's another thing. I guess a couple more things. We'll go into the retreats last. I want to talk more about your retreats. So the last thing I think about is self-love. So for people that are struggling to really, like, love themselves, even people, you know, we've all made bad decisions. We're all human beings here. We all even have karmic lessons from past lives, right? There's a lot of programming. There's a lot of outside sources telling us why we're not worthy, why we shouldn't love ourselves. So what advice would you give to someone who's really struggling to love themselves? And I don't just mean like physically, mentally, emotionally, like having like radical acceptance, and like even just, I guess that goes into like confidence as well, like someone who's struggling with that.
Yeah. Gosh, it's a really interesting question, because oftentimes, you know, we don't even realize that we don't love ourselves because we're putting so much attention on the people around us and receiving validation from them.
Yep.
And so I think if somebody's really struggling with just accepting their self, the best thing I think of right now is, like, there's this activity that I do from time to time, and it's where I will just stand in the mirror naked, and I will observe my body and my face, and just observe, and intentionally choose not to have judgment, right? But also be able to hold space for myself if those judgments arrive. Mm. And when it's over and done with, I would journal about my experience. Mm. What came for me? What was the hardest? Like, was it difficult to observe? What about it caused it to be difficult to observe? And I think once we can begin to accept the way we look and all of our glory and be okay with that.
Like very raw too. Yeah. Like, yeah, I agree. I do some mirror work sometimes too. Yeah. Like that. Yeah.
Then that's like the gateway into realizing, oh, I am allowed to express my emotions too. And that could be, you know, for somebody who's struggling with loving themselves, just realizing or finally standing up for their self and saying what they're thinking to someone who maybe they've been not necessarily afraid of, but intimidated by, or feels like has more power than them. Like anything that allows you to share from a really vulnerable spot is instantly going to increase your confidence and your self-worth, and then initially that internal love cycle, because we don't do that. We're told we can't. So when we do and we receive it, or it's received well by the people around us, that's why having those five people is really important. Because if Aunt Sally down the road, is like really entrained in her way of being, she's probably not the person to get vulnerable with, right? But if you have somebody who's always there to support you, and they really, their goal in life is to hear you and see you, then when you share who you really are, all of a sudden that it becomes more natural to not only do it with that person, but then to do it with others around you too. And often that's how our family members end up going, well, look at this one. What happened to her? Where'd we go wrong with that one? But for us, that's perfect, because then you embrace the fact that they feel that way, and it gives you 100% ability to just be yourself. Because then at that point, it's a transitional phase. You start here, and then you just take small steps towards that radical self-love. You do this or you do that. You stand in the mirror naked and admire yourself intentionally. You tell somebody who you're afraid of what you really want to say instead of what you think they want to hear. Just little things that move you in the right direction.
And those little things can really go a long way. And I think just showing yourself love, I think a lot of it's being gentle with yourself and self-care. The more I do for my self-care, whether I'm exercising, whether I'm having a day of rest, whether I'm just eating better, the little things I'm doing. I meditated, I did some breath work, like those little things, showing more love to yourself, and that kind of helps you feel more stable. And then we have to understand that some people aren't going to support us on your journey. Sometimes we have our family members aren't in alignment with where we want to go. We have friends, and that goes back to the five people. But we have to just be okay with not everybody's going to understand our journey. And sometimes when you're doing more stuff to love yourself and setting those boundaries and everything, like it can upset or trigger certain people, or it makes people feel uncomfortable. And that, sometimes they're not your people, or or you just have to really pay attention to when you are improving and loving yourself more. Who's on board with that? Because I've had this happen my past, like when I was, relationships I was in or friendships, when I was starting to do better, it's almost like it's like they had a problem with it. I was like, oh wow, why is that like a problem? I understand it could be something within the sub, but it's like, oh, maybe these aren't people I want to be around. And it's not about being angry. It's just about people are all, everyone's on their own path, on their own journey, and and maybe you just need to create some distance from those people. With family members can be different because it's your family, but sometimes you have to set, there's still ways to set healthy boundaries or distance yourself. I've had to do that myself. It's not easy, but that's also showing more self-love for yourself. Hey, I'm protecting my energy, and this person, I don't feel vibrationally good when I'm around this person, or I don't know why I feel, but I'm not saying everything's all their fault and there's nothing wrong with me. Sometimes there's some shadow work too. Why am I feeling this way? But sometimes you gotta trust your intuition and just do what's best for you. Do what you can to protect your own energy, but also accept others for who they are. It's not about trying to change other people, but if you're on this journey and this person isn't, it just, you might just vibrationally separate, and that's okay. That's supposed to happen. People get lonely when they're on this journey. And sometimes you're like on an island by yourself. You're like, man, no one around me is trying to heal or love themselves, or even going through a spiritual awakening. And it just kind of being okay with even sitting with yourself, sometimes for a while. And you'll find people that resonate with you that are on the same path, or a partner or whatever. Just kind of being okay. We talk about back to self, just like back to yourself. Like at the end of this life, you're back to yourself, right? Anyway, so it's all just experiences. It's all a journey. And I think just being okay with where you're at. Wherever you're at is okay. You're exactly where you need to be. I think that's what I tell people. And I have to tell myself, even when I look around, I'm like, man, I feel like it's all this comparison. Like, you think this should be better. I should be here by now. It's all that programming that woulda, shoulda. Where does that come from? I think it's like analyzing, like, why do I believe that? Why? Why? If you keep asking why, you'll get to the limiting belief.
That's right. Why is a super powerful question
Yeah.
for sure. And going back to what you said a minute ago about vibrationally separating, it's literally science. It's
Yeah.
all it's when two atoms merge, they come together because they have a similarity.
Yeah.
And so they vibrate towards one another and then they merge and they create a bond. Then, likewise, when that bond is no longer strong, meaning their vibrations are changing,
Yeah.
then they begin to vibrate apart. Even in the hard stuff, it's perfect where it's at, even when it's hard.
And that's where you have the most growth and transformation. And I always say, if you're not being challenged, you aren't evolving. If you're in your comfort zone every single day and everything's all peachy and everything, you're not evolving. I mean, that's good. I'm not saying you shouldn't be happy where you're, but the biggest thing with me getting over addiction, just overcoming some of the negative patterns I had, was just I'm getting okay with being uncomfortable. You gotta be able to be just sit with the uncomfortability, because that's how you're gonna change, and eventually it becomes more comfortable. But when you like pull something away from someone, maybe you had a relationship pattern where you always had to be with somebody, or you're addicted to substances, whatever it is, it's just like whatever you're gonna remove that's toxic for you, it's like you're gonna be uncomfortable because you're used to having whatever that is, or it could just be a thought pattern, or the way you're feeling or something. So it's like being very gentle with yourself while you're going through that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I guess the last thing, let's talk about your retreats and then we can sign off for here. So I know you do these retreats, and I know I've been seeing your posts, and I think that's very inspiring. So let's just say your next retreat, either your next one you have coming up or your latest one, like what do you do at or what are you doing at that retreat, and like just the kind of like what well, just I guess what you do in general at these retreats, and what kind of transformation and people can expect, and even information if people wanted to sign up.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for this opportunity to share about the retreats. So we just finished the Love Thyself. It was our first all women's retreat. So my husband was not involved. It was not through Seasons of Change, but Seasons of Change is like my retreat company. It was literally a group of women said, "We want you to lead a women-only experience." And I just did this 31-day challenge in December for the Love Dare Challenge. And so I thought, well, here's our opportunity. Let's keep loving ourselves, you know? So we did, and it was just a weekend. It was 3 days in Outer Banks, North Carolina, and it was beautiful. We meditate, we cleanse and clear the space. We do breath work. There's gentle yoga at this one. There was supposed to be gentle yoga on the beach, but it rained. So there was no gentle yoga on the beach, but it turned into like a dance party
That's
inside.
awesome.
And so it was a lot of fun, and it's really about being in community, eating healthy during that time. Went out and explored the local area. And this one was probably the most relaxed experience that I've done. And then we don't have our next retreat planned just yet. We thought we were going to be in Oregon this year, this summer,
Oh,
the end of
wow.
the summer. And something has come up in the last couple of weeks that made us go, maybe that's not the best choice. And so we're kind of pulling back, and we're reevaluating where do we want to go and when is that going to be. So we're thinking of maybe doing like a reunion experience instead of like a brand new retreat, since we don't have the allotted time we want for this next one. But there will definitely be retreats coming in the future. But each retreat we've done is different. There's always the core components of meditation, breath work,
Yeah, that's
yoga.
great. Yeah.
We always have some kind of like cocktail party or something, because we want it to be fun. There's always ecstatic dance. There's healthy, clean eating. And mostly it's the community, like healing together.
I love that.
And
Yeah.
we don't really have the opportunity for RTT, at
Yeah.
because we don't have 2 hour increments where I could spend hours with everybody. That would be a lot of energy. But we have Reiki. Like our yoga instructor, she's also Reiki certified, and
Awesome.
then we have sound healing and EFT as well.
I love all
And
that stuff. Oh, I'll
that
have to come
instructor
one time. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we sometimes have plant medicine, like we may have cacao. We've had psilocybin at past events. It just depends on our clientele and who's coming to what. Like when we went to Vermont, we climbed a mountain, and then we got to the top of that mountain and we climbed the fire tower on top of the mountain. And by the time we were finished, we were 8,300 feet above sea level.
Oh, wow.
And cold and raining, and the wind was blowing, and those people were so proud of themselves for what they'd accomplished, because if they could do that, they could do anything at that point. And so they got to that top of that fire tower, and then they sounded their barbaric yawp. They just let it go, like screaming over the mountaintops. And it was
Oh,
beautiful,
wow,
that
that's awesome.
experience,
That sounds great. Yeah.
And so, then the next day was like a really slow day where we did gentle yoga. We got in the hot tub. We hung out. Like we just experienced one another, and we had integration circles and things like that. And then day three, we went and did the cold plunge at the waterfall and went swimming. And then my husband had them build theirs. He's a heathen. So he studies the Norse gods, and he had them do, like, they built, I can't remember what it's called, but it was like the thing that they were letting go of. We held funerals
Oh,
for all of
wow.
those
That's
things, and
interesting.
we rocks around the waterfall, and they built like their headstone or whatever with the rocks, and then they wrote down what they were releasing on paper, and we burnt it, and we held space for them while they did it, and then they celebrated afterwards that they were letting that go. And it was just it's there's so many different things that we do. It's really a one of a kind experience each time.
That's awesome. It's really, yeah, it sounds like very transformational. People leave feeling refreshed. And I think, and the people, it's the people that make it too, because every person has their own, things that they're working on, and that they're working on healing and their own like purpose. And you're all coming together, and everyone can offer like different energies and different perspectives. And I really like that, the coming together and doing events like that, and for the purpose of healing and just enjoying yourselves too and having fun. I think, some people will go to, they do the ayahuasca ceremonies and some, there's all different kinds of events. And, I think some people forget to have fun too, regardless of what you're doing. It's just an experience and you're learning from it, and it's kind of awakening you to maybe a different part of yourself that you didn't know was there, back to self, which is the topic of this video. So, yeah.
It's been all about, we push you and then we bring you back into that inner child playtime, where you get to just have fun and experience like what's going on around you. We bobbed for apples in Vermont.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. Yeah. I would love that stuff.
It
Yeah.
was right around Halloween, so we did a lot. Like we were going to play hide and go seek outside at nighttime, and it rained. So we ended up bobbing for apples inside and then karaokeing all night long. But it was just like you had these really intense experiences, and then you have these just I can let go and just be free and have so much fun right now, because the people around me are not judging me.
Yeah.
They're here with me, same thing. And that's it. Yeah, it's just a really once in a lifetime experience. And Brian and I work really hard to make sure that no experience is the same as the previous one. Might be similar in the sense of breath work and meditation and yoga, and some other things. And now we'll be incorporating, somatic movement moving forward and
That's
stuff like
great,
that. But
yeah.
it's, we always come up with different ways to. And again, it's based on the audience, like who's there with us this time and what are they capable of doing? Because we're not going to push anybody to a space that they're not capable of. You
Yeah.
know what I mean? Safety is a big thing, and so we want to make sure that everybody is safe when they're with us. And then some things are out of control. They're out of our control, but yeah, it's. We're pretty proud of those experiences.
Yeah, I know. It looks
So,
like fun. Every time I see your posts, they look very fun. They look like something I want to do. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, we would love to have you sometime in the future. We just gotta redirect now and figure out where we're going next, since our location. That was pretty much what happened, is the location we had planned on going in Oregon, that kind of fell through for us. So now we have to readjust and figure out what we're gonna do. But that's okay, because that opened me up to be able to facilitate at someone else's retreat that same week. So
It all has a purpose. Maybe it was meant to go in another direction, or it'll lead you something even better. And that's all part of the journey too. I think when things don't go right, or don't go the way you have planned, or the way the program is set, it's like being okay with it and like flowing with it, and being open to something different. I think that's a big part of
absolutely.
healing and just evolving and everything. So
What's the gift in this?
yeah. There's always a silver lining. That's why no matter what experience I've had, like just no matter what it is, there's some kind of silver lining. You might not see it right now, but sometimes it's like later on, you're like, oh, this happened because this was connected to this, and I met this person, or I had this experience, and this didn't work out because this was supposed to. It's all connected. I think that's really cool how everything's works out like that sometimes, or often.
Love it.
Yep. Well, Brittany, I think we had a pretty good chat. Do you have anything else you want to leave the audience off with?
I would just say, if if you're interested, if something I said today piqued your interest in any way, please reach out. I'm Brittany Keziah Smith on Facebook, and I also have a YouTube channel that has a few meditations on it. And that is called Life Breath with Brittany Smith. I'm real big on breathing life, but I didn't want to use breathing life. So it's Life Breath with Brittany Smith. And then our retreats are Seasons of Change retreats. And I know that's a lot of information I just threw at you,
I'll put the
but
links in
please.
the show notes and in the YouTube video. Yeah, I'll put the links here.
Thank
See.
you so much.
Right, well, thank you
Yeah.
for coming on, Brady. It's been we had a really good chat, and I really appreciate your time. And I love that you recorded outside, because it gives kind of a different view. And it's good for people to get outside in nature. And sometimes I feel better when I'm in nature, even like doing I've done like videos in nature, and I think it's good to you feel more like I don't know, more grounded, more fun, more like nature's very healing. So I really like that you did this video in nature as well. I can relate.
Thank you. Yeah. Like I told you, I'm tapping my feet on the bare grass, and it's gorgeous here today, so I took advantage.
Yep. All right, everyone. Well, we are going to sign off on Trailblazers of the Universe podcast. Make sure to give a follow, like, or a 5-star rating where applicable. And this video will be on my YouTube channel as well. So make sure to subscribe, like, comment, and share. If something resonated with what Brittany said, or if you have any comments or any feedback, or if you're going through similar experiences and what has helped you with healing or reprogramming your subconscious mind, then make sure to drop a comment. Much peace and love and light to everybody. Namaste.
Thank you.